Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, 1850 715 815, and 51551, wash your hands. Now, Lauren, good afternoon.
Hiya, how are you?
Good. It's tell it as you heard it.
Say that again, sorry?
Tell us as you heard it yesterday. What was said to you?
So yesterday I was in work, whatever, and I had a pair of shorts on, mm-hmm. and I got told that I shouldn't work out, shouldn't have my shorts on because the working men were coming in and I would make them feel uncomfortable.
So yesterday being a glorious day, the weather is getting better. You were, as is normal, not unusual, you decided to wear shorts.
Yes.
In your place of work.
Yeah.
And was it, were you told to change or just to...
Yeah, no, I was told to change out of my shorts because I'd make people feel uncomfortable. And to be honest, I was kind of in shock. I didn't say anything back to this person. I was in shock. I was kind of like, wait, what? Like,
and did they say, Lauren, that you'll make the men uncomfortable?
Yes, that I'd make the men feel uncomfortable, that they were older men and that, you know, they were from a different generation, that I should change out of my shorts because they'd feel uncomfortable, rather than me being uncomfortable in a heavy pair of jeans or trousers.
Yeah, yeah. And what did you do?
I went back to work. I had stuff to do. I kind of just went on with my day. It was a common day, and I just kept going with my day, to be honest with you. I didn't do anything.
And did the male colleagues in your workplace, did they go around all afternoon looking uncomfortable?
No. I didn't really see them because I was in a different room or whatever. So, but I presume that they were fine.
Now, give me the energy that was in the request from your colleague. Was she being like, was she acting in a supervisory role, or she would have been uncomfortable? Do you follow me?
Yeah, I'm not sure. To be honest, again, I think it's a different generation, that she's older than me, and she was thinking that from more of her point of view, from the generation that she is, that she was like, well, we women have to change our appearances to make the men feel comfortable, if you get what I mean.
Yeah,
I don't think there was any harshness in the comment she made. I think it was just maybe uneducated on her behalf.
Okay.
I don't think it was a dig or anything like that.
Okay,
so I think it was just...
And this is on foot of what we were talking about yesterday. I mentioned that the Ursula von der Leyen of the EU saying sexism was alive and well at every level of the EU after she was humiliated by President Erdogan of Turkey, and indeed the President of the EU Commission, who happens to be a man, or the EU Council happens to be a man. So previous examples, any examples of that is kind of sexism? What about your daily life and...
Yeah, so there was another incident. I'm sure every woman has loads of incidents they can talk about. But there was another incident that happened when I was in my local shop and I was just getting bits for dinner or whatever. And I walked to the till with the smallest line and it happened that there was a man in front of me and he was buying alcohol. And that was grand. The man turned around to me and said, oh, I just forgot something. So he said, I said, that's fine. I'll just wait until you come back. He stumbled by me and he did rub off me, and at the time I was like, nah, it's a stumble, nothing to worry about. On his way back, he came back and he pinched my bum. And I was kind of in shock. I didn't know what to do. I was kind of like, do I say something? And I didn't. He went about his day, I went about mine, and I went home. And there was a person at home, and I explained the situation to them, and they said, why did you line up behind someone that was just buying alcohol? Like, I should have to be aware of who I line up behind. And the other comment that was made was I sure that's what happened? And the third comment that was made was, why didn't you tell anyone? Why didn't you say to the person at the till that this happened? Or why didn't I alert anyone to the incident? And it was almost like I was being given out to for something that happened to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there is an argument in this jurisdiction and elsewhere that a pinch on the bum is an indecent assault.
Yeah, and it is. But I feel like a lot of women, especially women maybe in their 20s, have experienced this, whether it's been in a nightclub or it's been out on the streets. And like, I can turn around to any one of my friends and ask them and they'll have a story to tell you at all. So it's just heartbreaking, really.
Yeah. No, I was looking up earlier. Went to one issue on this is being pinched in the bum. It was an Australian case, and it was a policeman who pinched somebody at a charity event, but he was wearing the uniform, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. It's still. They were talking about this new phenomenon. Well, it's 5 years, 10 years, twerking and all this carry on and changes in dancing. But you should be allowed to dance the way you want to dance. So, Lauren, is that it over with you? The good weather. Well, it's cold today, but it's due to come back. You're not going to be, I hope, put off wearing what you want.
No. Like, I mean, the way that I said it when I was explaining the story to another person was, if I was a man wearing shorts, would I get asked? If I was a man wearing GA shorts, would I get asked to change? No.
Absolutely.
And these shorts are about the same length, so I'm not going to, for the weather, I want to stand my legs. I'm not going to cover them up.
And we got, as you know, this time last year, we had a very animated debate for one day only about normal people. But we never got any calls about Paul Mescal's GAA shorts.
Yeah, which is great. It's mind-blowing, really.
And he's nominated himself. And Daisy are nominated for a BAFTA today again because of his role in those GAA shorts, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, go about your work. Enjoy the summer. And you're right. Stand up to that type of... Behaviour.
Yeah.
Okay, look after yourself.
Perfect.
Lauren, thanks, Lauren. Joe@rt.ie. Siobhan, is it because you're a woman you're being denied this, do you think?
The car insurance?
Yeah.
No, it's because of the car itself. It's a Nissan 300 ZX twin turbo.
Yeah, but I thought the previous owner had it insured, no problem.
Yes, that's correct. And the company he's with, I spoke to them and they're no longer taking on that particular car.
Okay, tell us about the car and what happened.
Well, I bought the car there, it must have been nearly 4 weeks ago, and I knew the insurance company the previous owner was with, so I didn't even bother shopping around. €250.
Tell us a bit about the car. Hopefully your line will get better as you do. Tell us a bit about the car.
It's they're classified as a sports car, and some call it a high performance car. It's a 1990, and it's a stunner of a car, a twin exhaust, and it's a lovely thing.
No, we're going to get a better. Siobhan, whatever about your car being stunning, the line isn't stunning. Sounds like something from the 1990s, but we'll be back after this break. Joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, Siobhan, we'll have another go at the line. Siobhan bought a Nissan 300 ZX twin turbo. It's a classic car, 1990. She sent in the photographs. Looks like a sports car. She's been interested in cars, beautiful cars, for many a long year. The previous owner had it insured, and now when you went to get it insured, you were told no.
I was told that they're no longer covering that particular car the insurance company is currently insured with.
So it's...
And I've been on to all insurance companies all over Ireland.
And how is your standing in the insurance world? Have you no claims bonus and...
I'm driving years of 90 years, no claims bonus, have no penalty points and no convictions. A full clean driver's license is over 25 years.
You've 9 years no claims bonus, no penalty points.
No,
full
no,
license
no.
Since you were 25.
Yes.
And is this car, I see, is it called the Nissan Fair Lady?
Yes, it is, that's it, yes.
It's a very sexist name, is it? Given what we were talking about earlier.
It is.
The Nissan Fair Lady. And is there a Nissan Gentleman?
Yeah, I have no idea.
What do you call it? My Fair Lady?
Yeah, have you actually
driven the car anywhere, given that you can't get insurance?
I went for it in the test drive, and I was looking at it, and I ended up going back and buying it. But it's still at the guy's house.
Okay, so you're working off his insurance as such?
No, well, yeah, for a test drive, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and by the way, how much is the car worth?
Well, the car is worth 15,000-16,000. Now, I didn't pay that. You know what I mean? I got a good deal in the with it. But I went on to the Insurance Federation of Ireland, and they want three letters from three different insurance companies.
Okay.
And I can't even get a letter.
Okay. We'll look it up. So you're looking for somebody that will insure a 1990 Nissan Fair Lady. That categorises it as a classic car, doesn't it? On that day,
yes, yeah. It is a classic. Yes, it's 31 years old. Yes.
Okay. We'll see what we get in. Joe at RT. Thanks, Siobhan. Pity about the line.
Okay,
Joe at RT.ie. 51551. Wash your hands. And 1857-15815. Now, we've had another long statement in from Chartered Accountants Ireland, which I'll get to as soon as we can process it. But stick to insurance for a sec. Noel Mohan. Noel, good afternoon. Hello, Noel. Oh, Noel is ringing. Let's hope, but he can't answer. You have to tell him he's on air before he answers. Let me go to Fidelma Walsh. Fidelma, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You? What's happened? You were hacked.
Oh, God, Joe, I was indeed. Last Saturday morning, I woke up and my account, I started a fashion account about a year ago when lockdown started. And it's been flying. My account is absolutely flying. And I woke up on Saturday morning and gone. Everything just gone. Wow. Account still there, but someone else's name where my name should be. So I had all my settings gone. I couldn't access the account. I couldn't post to it. I couldn't respond. Anything that anybody saw on my account, it was coming up with this hacker's name. So gone. So absolutely devastating.
So they've stolen your identity.
They've stolen, yeah. They've absolutely stolen my identity, Joe, yeah.
So follow the money, Fidelma. How do they get money out of this?
Well, they haven't contacted me. Nothing. I've heard nothing from them, Joe, at all. They haven't contacted me. I've had no contact whatsoever. So I don't exactly know what they're looking for. They've just stolen the identity. Now, I mean, somebody did say to me that, you know, your account could end up on God knows what website. But, I mean, I've tried to engage with Instagram to take it down and nothing. They won't engage at all. They haven't got back to me. I've sent them tons and tons of emails and messages and absolutely nothing. So why
do you think they've done it? Like, can they rob money off your customers?
No. Okay. My page is purely a fashion page. I started it, Joe, a year ago when we went into lockdown, and it was purely, it was purely to do with inspiring, you know, women of a certain age, a little bit older. I'm not young. It's just a fashion page.
A blog.
That's it, exactly. So every day I would post a new outfit that I'd wear and I'd talk about it and say where I bought the different items. Nothing, you know, it really took off. Everyone was really engaging. I got lots of followers. I got featured in Heat magazine. I had a feature done on me by the Connacht Telegraph here in Mayo. And the account was flying, absolutely flying. And all of a sudden, just gone like that. So now what I've had to do is I've had to start up a whole new page, start from scratch. Now I know, I mean, I only had 6,000 followers or almost 6,000 followers. And I mean, people will say, oh my God, that wasn't an awful lot. But for me, it was huge because when I started this, I thought if I get to 1,000 followers, I will be so happy. I'll be absolutely thrilled.
But have you heard from other bloggers or Instagrammers, as you say, when your website is stolen like that? Do they do they come looking for money to give it back to you, so to speak, being blunt?
One of the bloggers, and a blogger in England has been in contact with me, and she said generally what they do is within maybe 10 days of hacking your account, they'll actually try to contact you and they'll ask you for money. And when you refuse, they'll threaten all sorts. They'll actually threaten to put you on the dark web and all, I don't know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, but I haven't had anything. I've had no contact. I've absolutely nothing. So I don't know what's going on.
So you're back to square one.
I'm back to square one.
What are you calling if you're your new account?
My new account is exactly the same name except with a one at the back of the account. So it's Fashion with Fid. There's no gaps in it at all. Fashion with Fid one. That's the new page. And so I'm just trying to engage with all my followers that I had and, you know, trying to create new content and everything. It's just, it's been devastating. I just feel, Joe, that like somebody has come into my house and literally taken everything, stolen everything from me, cleared me out. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're helpless. You know, you're just, everything is gone. It's just gone completely. And here you are just starting all over again. Okay. It's important.
It's difficult now to establish a unique identity in the very noisy world. Okay, I hope it works for you. Fashion with Fid one, with the number one, the numeral one. I'm just thinking, I don't know whether you're following that crazy discussion in England and Scotland and beyond about Aberdeen, which is the insurance company stroke bank. They've changed their name to, if you visualize the word Aberdeen in your head, take out all the vowels, the three E's. Their new name is ABRDN. People think it's the craziest thing they've ever come across. A company that's been there for a few hundred years trying to be trendy. ABRDN is the new name.
I'll check it out.
Do for that, if you can remember. Thanks, Nee. James Tracy, thanks for them. Such a famous name in Ireland, disappeared yesterday. Joe Walsh Tours, JWT, when I worked in Arcs Advertising way back in the 1970s, 80s. One of the things I had to do was proofread the Joe Walsh Tours annual brochure, which was such a staple in so many households. The exotic places we could all go to, like Lourdes, like Fatima, like Spain. But James, how long were you involved with Joe Walsh Tours?
I met David Walsh on the October of 2018. I had previously done work with another tour operator in Dublin. And
what did you do with them, James?
Oh, organising trips to Holyland, Israel and Palestine, and Fatima.
Oh, you're a guide?
No, I'm not a guide. I'm a group leader.
Okay. Well, explain what's that job?
So I had to organise the trips to go to the Holyland. I had to get people to go on the trip, and I had to explain to them where we were going to and get them to pay the money to do our tours, and then I go free for the group. Oh, I got numbers to go.
And how many times did you go to the Holy Land?
Seven times, yeah.
And what time of the year would you bring groups to the Holy Land?
Mostly Christmas.
Including Christmas Day?
Yeah, Christmas Day, yeah.
And when would you head off? When would you start?
19th December.
And where would you go to on the trips?
We start off in northern Israel first, to go fly to Tel Aviv and Istanbul. Istanbul is a huge airport, to go to Istanbul first, go through to Tel Aviv. And then we start off in northern Israel. We go to Mount Tabor and Mount Beershot, and we go to Sea Galilee. We go a boat trip into Sea Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And we go on south, it's pretty nice in northern Israel. And we go on south, we go on to the River Jordan, and we go to the Dead Sea.
That's it, yeah.
And then we go to Bethlehem for 5 nights. Wow. 5 nights, Bethlehem and Jerusalem are in the same area, five miles apart.
And tell me, where would you be on Christmas Eve, stroke Christmas morning?
Well, Christmas Eve, I normally go to Midnight Mass in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. I have tickets to go for there. No, the last time I was there, I got a pass from the Clare Champion to go to cover the story of Clare Champion.
The Clare Champion, yeah. You're okay. And would all the people on the trip, on those trips, would they go to midnight mass in Bethlehem?
No, the tickets only. It's the lottery ticket only. Lottery to go on mass. Lottery.
Okay.
Lottery to go on. I got my mother came with me to the Hoyle End last time we were over there. She got a ticket as well. Got two tickets for midnight mass. But there was a guy from South Africa in the group, and he got a ticket. He got a ticket to go to mass as well. The stream of went to mass.
And James, as you were working for Joe Walsh Tours, but was it your job, say when you land in Tel Aviv, there's an awful lot of paperwork, isn't there, to get into Israel?
No, you get a visa when you arrive in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, okay.
And we meet the guide in at the airport. So I count them in the airport, count them and we arrive in Tel Aviv, count them in the bus. And then we meet the guide, and the guide takes over from there.
Okay, and what is the group invariably from Ireland?
Well, we had a group, Manchester went 1 year, two American ladies came last year, the last time, and then there was in Fatima, a girl from Scotland came out to the trip in Fatima. And
what type of problems would you be dealing with?
Problems, I was a very abusive woman in the bus saying I didn't do the job right, the kind of thing. No matter how well you organise a trip, there's always someone that doesn't enjoy it.
Didn't enjoy it?
There's one person that didn't enjoy it, find the fault.
Why?
One particular occasion, I had a collection for the bus driver, the tour guide and the priest.
Yeah, of course.
And I got a complaint from the rep for the company saying that I didn't do my job right.
Why?
She had no collection, she says.
No collection.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah. And what about people becoming unwell or food poisoning?
Well, we had one case of a woman fell down the stairs in Bethlehem. So she hurt her head and she went to the hospital. I organised that.
And whereabouts in Bethlehem did she fall down the stairs?
Manger Square Hotel in Bethlehem, top left hotel in Bethlehem.
And was she going down to, because the manger is in Bethlehem.
It is, yeah.
It is below the church, isn't it?
It's in the hotel.
Oh, she fell in the hotel?
The hotel, yeah.
Oh, thank God. I thought she fell. You know the way you go down those steps? It is quite tight, isn't it, going down
it is,
to
yeah,
see
it is,
where the manger and where Christ was born. Was everyone on that trip, would they be very religious, James?
Well, I had one guy went with me there in 2017, and I got him to go. I got a free trip for him to go.
Okay.
And he had never messed in his life. Well, he was for Holy Communion only.
Say again, you got him. Why did you get him a free trip?
He's a friend of mine.
Okay, and did he want to become a priest or something?
No, he did not. Far from a priest.
Far from a priest.
Okay, it's very good fun, like, even if you have no religion at all, the history of the place. And
yeah,
it's
fantastic. Yeah, it's the cradle of history.
Jerusalem, and that's great.
That part,
the Sea Galilee is nice as well.
And what was security like?
Security tight coming back. Last time I was there, I had to book in the group in Tel Aviv airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to explain to them who we were and where we're coming from.
Yeah.
And
did they get all the info? Did they look through your notebooks? And
no, they asked me one day to have explosives in my bag. This is.
Good God. Had you explosives?
Explosive bags. And they ask you 100 questions. Where have you been to? Have you been to political meetings? And
who did you meet? Yeah, I know. And invariably, because I've been there with Angus McAnally for the millennium, and we did a programme at Christmas from Bethlehem. But when we were coming back through Tel Aviv, we were both taken separately into two different rooms, and they went through our notebooks. Who did we meet? It was just... And by the way, the people that were interrogating us were only about 17 years of age.
Yeah.
They were very, very, very young, the IDF. And you take photographs as well.
Yeah, I mean, photography in a big way. And I had a course in Limerick there last year in the Limerick College of Education in Limerick.
Oh,
and I bought two cameras in last year. I was hoping that the pilgrimages would continue. And I got $4,000 for two cameras.
You see, Joe, and you take... Well, we talk about photography in a sec, but Joe Walsh Tour said it's a pandemic and the very strict regulations here in Ireland, especially, that's destroyed them.
Yeah. Like we've planned years ahead, 3 years ahead with them.
And so, okay, how many groups had you planned for this year, James?
About 10.
10?
10, yeah.
Wow.
I planned going to Intergun National. I had gone to Liverpool to organise hotels for the Grand National.
Okay.
Highland Show in Scotland, I planned to go there. I planned to go to Lourdes on the 13th of February. 14th of February, I think. It's February, the feast day in February. 14th of February.
But when you said, were you going there as a photographer or as a bringing group?
Both.
Good man. Good man. And so, but they're all gone.
Now, this year they are, but I planned going next year for a group to Fatima and to the whole end, but I haven't got over it or got yet.
You plan next year, but you've lost 10, well, you've lost your job as well, but 10 troops trips this year are just gone.
Yeah, next year as well.
And are you getting any work with your good cameras?
Yeah, I do Kettlemare photography. Kettlemarts. Going around the Merts, taking photographs of kettle in the Merts.
Published
in the Examiner and the Family Journal and the Independent.
But is that gone as well?
No, it's still gone. It's doing that at the moment.
Oh, good man. So what do? Do you take a photograph of every cow or no, heifer
so, or whatever? First half an hour in the Mert, I take the best kettle in the Mert and get in the Mert. And people outside the Mert as well.
They're just
to come in.
And where you send those snaps, where? To the
Farmers Journal this week and the Examiner.
But are you saying you take photographs of the best looking animals?
The most money.
Say again, sorry?
Most money.
Of course, okay. Okay. And how did, can I ask you, James, like when you heard the news yesterday about Joe Walsh travel going, were you surprised?
I was, because I spoke to the boss about 2 weeks ago and he said he's still in business, he says.
He said what, the business?
He's still in business.
Still in business, okay.
So he's a great operator. He's a great,
yeah.
A great man to organise pilgrimages. I mean, if I go anywhere in the world, if I got a group to come with me, I go free.
But he's been gone for 60 years, hasn't he? There was Joe Walsh. I don't know if it's the family are still involved, are they?
David Walsh is involved in it.
David Walsh. Okay. But you've a good attitude, James.
That's what I have, yeah.
Yeah. You've a very good... How have you managed during the pandemic?
I've been doing the kettle merch for the last year.
And have you got the jab?
Which one?
The vaccination.
Tomorrow I'm getting it.
Ah, oh, congratulations. And which one are you getting, do you know?
I don't know, to go to the doctor.
Okay, but you'll take whatever you get.
Well, yeah.
Good man. And how have you... So you're allowed to go photograph the animals at the mart because that's your job?
Yes, yeah.
And you can travel. You could travel outside the 5K.
Yeah, on Castle Island Monday.
Castle Island, okay.
And I was in Thorlis last Monday.
Thorlis the previous Monday, yeah.
And I was in Nina last Tuesday. Nina and Tuesday, Ross Grey Wednesday.
Okay. And people have no issue with you photographing their animals?
No, the only issue that they have is to photograph themselves in the as they're unloading the kettle, maybe. They might have an issue with that.
Why?
The tax manager.
Explain that to me again. The only problem you have at the mart is you have to be careful photographing the lads, the farmers, unloading cattle.
Yeah.
Why?
They don't want to get the photograph in the paper for the taxman.
So they don't want the taxman knowing that they've 12 cattle.
Yeah.
And has this been said to you?
Has, yeah.
Don't be putting that photograph in the old farmer's journal. You'll get the revenue after me. I've told them I've only 2 cattle and a sheepdog. And by the way, do you think revenue trawled through the farmer's journal?
I don't know.
Maybe they do. They are very smart. Stay there with us, James. Aidan McDonough, you were involved with Joe Walsh Tours as well.
Yeah, Joe, how are you getting on? Yeah. Good afternoon to you.
So what's your involvement and what's happened?
We've just been let down by them big time. We've just been lied to, I suppose, in the first place. And
yeah, well, now business is unpredictable. But tell us what happened.
We booked. It's actually a gift from my mother-in-law. She was 80 last January. Not January gone, prior to that, January okay. previous year. So prior to that, we had booked a trip to Lourdes, which we knew she wanted. The money just straight from the start, it's €400. It's not a mountain of money. It's a small amount of money.
Okay.
But to an 80-year-old pensioner, that's quite a substantial amount. Anyway, we walked with them, and obviously COVID increased, and then we understood completely. We said, look, that's fine. These things happen. We'll delay the trip. So trip got delayed. Then we realized this isn't lifting for a while. And the likelihood is she won't travel afterwards because, because she'd be nervous or whatever else. So we said, look, do you know what we'll do? We'll just get a refund.
Okay.
And they agreed to do that. So that was fine. Everything looked in order. But they said, give us a couple of months because the business has taken a hit.
Yeah, of course.
Again, we understood fully. Okay. And we said, yeah, no problem. So everything got delayed. Then it was put off last summer. We were told it would be January. In January, we corresponded with them and got told it's more likely going to be April. When April came around, we said, well, look, can you put a date on this? And they said, yes, April 23rd, which was last Wednesday, guaranteed money will be in your account. We've an email from them to say that. And then nothing arrives on April 23rd, at which point we queried it. And we got a call. No, I didn't take the call. My mother-in-law took the call because they phoned her directly, saying it'll be next Wednesday. It'll all be sorted. Don't worry about it. Now, next Wednesday is today. And when we contacted them today, they said, we're out of business now. You're going to have to take it up with a commissioner. So they knew last Wednesday.
Well, would they have not? How do we know they knew, Aidan, in fairness?
Well, why would you delay it by a week and then announce it on the Tuesday?
Because nobody knows. They could have, their accountant or whatever could have told them on Monday, listen, guys, you're insolvent, and under company law, you there's no ifs or buts. If you're insolvent, you can't trade, and you have to declare that. Given that it's terrible about your mother losing, and we try and help to get it back. But as you say, that's not the point. I know you're making a wider point. But isn't the problem now that everything is just so unpredictable?
Oh, absolutely. But it's just, as I said, there's a lot of sympathy with the media saying, isn't it terrible? And it is. But the sympathy should be with the people who've lost their jobs, not the people who own the company. And, and there's a certain amount of that goes with them. But, as I said to you, the way we were dealt with, we were told this date, this date, this date, and then committed to a date, failed on the verbal agreement and written agreement with us, and then delayed it by a week, and then previous to that announced it. Now, I know you're saying it's impossible to tell. I know you're saying that, but these companies know. They do know. I worked in a company who've let people go, and they knew 2 months ago that they were going to be in that position in 2 months' time.
Well, remember, you can get on to the Commission for Aviation Regulation.
I have. And
it's an
8-page form that you have to download, fill out, and supply receipts, any correspondence. It's going to take weeks to get this stuff together. And now we're back to day one of a process that might take 3 months.
Okay. Well, look at the difficulty people were having with Aer Lingus, especially about getting their money back. Ryanair, in fairness, were better than Aer Lingus in the long term. Maybe they weren't, but stay there, Aidan. Ed Bourne. Ed is in Wicklow. We're talking about Joe Walsh Tours. What was your involvement with Joe Walsh, Ed?
How you, Joe? How you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
When we heard the news yesterday, we were devastated because myself and my wife have been organising our parish pilgrimage to Lourdes for the last 19 years. And last year would have been our 20th consecutive year going to Lourdes, and we were devastated at that. And now, obviously, we can't go this year either. So, we would have gone with, obviously, JWT, but we always went in September as part of the Dublin Diocese.
Dublin Diocese,
Which brought a huge crowd, as you can imagine, from all over Dublin. And well organised. Everything was just super.
And how long was it Dublin? I wonder which diocese is the longest. Obviously, it all went belly up last year, the 2020. Which diocese has the longest tradition of going to Lourdes?
Pilgrimage? I don't think I could answer that one for you.
I'd say Dublin is up there.
Well, Dublin is well up there. For sure, I mean, they were going. I think in the first couple of years, we probably went during the summertime, but then we got to know There was a crowd from Dublin going. So, yeah, so we ended up, as I say, we're from Our Lady Queen of Peace in Bray. And we said, well, look, we'll give them a year's trial, so to speak. And sure, we were totally gobsmacked with the organisation of it. It was just terrific.
So what you did, what your role was, you organised the group, but you did it all through Joe Walsh Tours.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well,
you know, we started advertising, say, in March, April for our group here in Bray, and by midsummer we had 40, 50 people coming with us every year. We're getting calls even now to say, is there any way we can go to Lourdes, so to speak.
I know, it's tough.
But what
type of problems would you encounter when you're in Lourdes as the organiser?
Very little, Joe,
to be quite honest
with you, because hotels obviously were first class.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have brought wheelchair patients with us. No problem whatsoever. JWT were very accommodating for people like that. It's just the right stab in the heart, so to speak. We're lost for words, actually, to think that we won't get back to Lourdes.
Yeah, I just wonder, because I've heard that conversation so often this year, Ed, or in the last 15 months, people saying, I'll never get back to doing A, B, C, D again.
There is so much to do in Lourdes. It's hard to fit it all in one visit.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's a very emotional place. It can be for lots of people.
Well, especially when
the amount of great work that Dublin do with the help that they give to people over there.
Mm.
I mean, they're certainly well respected over in Lourdes. They're highly regarded.
And remember there was the thing when I was growing up, Brand Cartiers.
Yes.
Do they still exist?
Absolutely. Yeah, and
they're volunteers, aren't they?
Volunteers, yes.
They look after people who are unwell or differently abled.
Yeah. People are so good over in Lourdes. They will go to any length to, you know, if a patient needs anything. I mean, no patient is left out of any of the ceremonies.
Okay. And do you think there's a serenity about the place, Ed?
To go down to the grotto late at night, you think you're in a little piece of heaven. It is absolutely just so peaceful.
And it's just people with candles and the tranquility.
Massive, they all add to the atmosphere of it.
And it's the sound is a very, very low hum, if anything, isn't it?
And, you know, when there oftentimes would be down at the grotto at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, and there's always 20 or 30, 40 people around just sitting, praying. Just beautiful. And here we are now, and we're devastated we can't go this year.
Yeah.
Gee, but sure, look, please God.
People counting their blessings. Okay, Ed, safe travelling to you and your family, and indeed all those people you've organised to go to Lourdes. James, Tracy, come back to you. James, did you go to Lourdes?
I went once, yeah. I went on the Diocese of Killaloe pilgrimage.
And what did you make of it?
Prefer to go on the feast day because I organise it. You see, the Diocese of pilgrimage, they don't organise it because I'm the director of the pilgrimages in that area.
What do you mean?
My own pilgrimages are my ones that I bring myself.
And have you been to Fatima?
I've been to Fatima 5 times.
And have you been to Medjugorje?
Been twice.
And you've been to Jerusalem and Bethlehem? And
I organised a bus to go to the Phoenix Park.
Oh, okay. So, you've to go where, James?
A bus to Phoenix Park from the Pope, from Killaloe Diocese. I organised one of their buses.
Yeah, okay, we leave the Phoenix Park out as a choice now, because you can go to Phoenix Park hopefully next month. But if I was to say to you, James, you can only go back to one of those places again, Lourdes, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. Jerusalem, Bethlehem, as you know, they're the one area, as you said. Fatima or Medjugorje, which would you go back to?
The Holy Land, no doubt about it.
Say again?
Israel and Palestine, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Last time I went there, it was the best trip of my life. I never enjoyed it as much.
Why?
Just the whole trip, the people in the trip, and the midnight mass, and the mass on Christmas Day, and the food, and the beer we had over there was good as well. Went to the Waldorf Hotel in Bethlehem, which is Banksy's Hotel. Went there on Christmas Day.
Okay. And what you do on Christmas Day in the Waldorf?
We went to a museum. We went around the museum and in the hotel.
And you had a bit of downtime, a bit of relaxation.
Yeah, Christmas Day or day off. on the shops.
Great. But that's where you go back. And did you get talking to many Israelis and many Palestinians?
Definitely at the airport. I mean, any Palestinians.
Okay.
The security asked me that. Yes. I mean, they don't mind the hotels now at this stage.
They what, sorry, James?
They know me at the hotel at this
stage. Oh, they know you at this stage. Well, that's good. Well, I hope they don't forget about you.
I was talking to the agent out there this morning in Bethlehem,
okay.
Our agent from Doha Tours, and she said that the airports are opening up in May over there.
In May in Israel? Israel
everyone can go out to Bethlehem. Israel has got two shots.
Well, May is next Saturday, you know that.
The end of May, I think it is.
Oh, the end of May. Well, the 1st of May is next Saturday. May Day. Okay, and do you see yourself travelling again, James?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully some wedding work and photography.
Wedding work, okay. So that's gone as well.
I know, hopefully the bookings, available for bookings.
You're available for bookings. And what do you go under, James Tracy?
Photography, the high.
Okay, now somebody has sent me in a photograph. Of a farmer on a tractor in Bodyke.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know. I took it, yeah.
And I'll tell you who you said it was. This is
Tom Murphy.
Well, didn't you see you know it? You say you didn't know it. You didn't know. This is, and what's he doing?
He's driving the Hill of Scariff.
He's
driving up the Hill of Scariff in a tractor.
Yeah, okay. And it's a very old tractor.
It's 1964.
Good man. And is it 64 CE?
It is, yeah.
That was and where is he going in a 64 CE? What type of tractor is it?
It's a Ford Dexter. Super Dexter.
Ford Dexter, okay. Where is he going?
He's going shopping.
He's going to Super Value.
He's going to Mace, or Centra.
Centra. And he goes there every week in his tractor?
I thought it is, yeah.
Oh, that's a lovely, and he actually has the roll bar put on it because
I did a video for the Angels visited there last month. It's coming up at 7th of May again, RT1. The Angels.
You photographed for the Angels?
No, a video for the Angels.
And what was your video?
Kilmallock Mart.
Okay.
It's an RT1, 7th of May.
Okay. And you do black and white photographs as well?
I do, yeah.
And is that you do that deliberately? That's not because they're old photographs.
No, I have a black and white camera that I use for films. So also a film camera. I take the cameras I have at the moment. I can convert them to black and white using Photoshop.
And you've got your own Facebook page.
I have, yeah.
Oh, good. What's it called?
TNC Photography and Photographs and Scarf Needs Layer.
Oh, well done. And have you got you on Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram. No.
Are you on TikTok?
No.
Are you on Twitter?
I am, but I don't have an account.
God, I'll be asking you next year, are you on Bumble or Tinder or any of those dating websites? I'm asking you so many questions. So you have your own Facebook. That's brilliant. Brilliant, James. And now that Joe Walsh is gone, unfortunately, that's one element of your business gone. And you're asking people if there's an old wedding coming up or... You'll do anything, basically.
I would, yeah. I mean, doing sports photography. I'm buying lenses for my camera so I'm to do sports photography, hurling matches.
And but a lens is expensive.
It's $1,200 for lens.
Good God.
Lens,
why do you need a special lens for hurling?
For distance.
Wow. And the speed of the ball, no? Do you need it? How do you...
The shutter speed, increase the shutter speed in the camera.
Okay. And when did you... Do you remember your first camera?
You were 10. Yeah.
And long ago was that, can I ask you?
Half your age plus seven.
What year?
Half your age plus seven.
No, you
half your age plus seven. That's how long ago it was.
Half your age.
Half your age plus seven.
Oh, you have it all. You're being cheeky now. So you're half my age plus seven. Okay. That's a phrase, is it, down in Clare?
Is, yeah.
Yeah, when you get cheeky feckers like me asking people what their age is. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've softened my cough anyway. And okay, forget about your age, but you were, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 when you got your first camera. Do you remember what type of camera it was?
A Kodak.
Kodak. And did you like it from the get-go?
No, I didn't pick it up very seriously until I went to Medjugorje.
Yeah. That's incredible. And looking at those photographs there on your Facebook page, jamestracy.ie, am I right?
Photography.ie.
Oh, God. jamestracyphotography.ie. I want to give you as many breaks as I can, especially as you're after breaking my jaw for being cheeky there by asking your age. And can I ask you another cheeky question, James? When you go on the trips as the organiser, do you get paid?
Numbers, I would.
Okay, but
numbers game.
It's a numbers game, and what do you get?
It's two free trips extra. If I got numbers enough.
Okay. That answer is a bit like half your age plus seven, isn't it?
the price of trip is $1,795.
Okay.
I pay three of them.
Do you pay the $1,795?
No, I go free.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Okay, stay with us. Maureen and Joe Walsh. Stay with us, James Tracy, photography.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
The Ryan Tuberty Show, weekdays from 9 on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning, Peg. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you wouldn't mind, and how you got into this whole area of youth support and what it means.
I suppose I got into the area because I was one of those young people and I became a teen mom. I had my first child at 17.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of judgment placed on my family and there's a lot of judgment placed on me, and my parents were judged, and that impact was just, I wanted to give something back to young people in the community, and that's why I went on this road.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Fleetwood Weatherclad Paint has been protecting the exterior of Irish homes for over 40 years.
We engineer, test and manufacture all our paints in Virginia County Cavan. Fleetwood Weatherclad is made in Ireland for Irish weather.
In fact, we are so confident in the quality of Fleetwood Weatherclad, it now comes with a lifetime guarantee for as long as you live in your home.
Who would give you a lifetime guarantee on their exterior paint?
Fleetwood would. Ask for Fleetwood Weatherclad and visit fleetwood.ie to find your local stockist.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I'm Joe at RT. We're talking about Joe Walsh travel and the effect it's had, the collapse yesterday of Joe Walsh travel. Some people very unhappy about money that they've handed over, and they felt there was a bit of delay in getting it back, and now they don't get it back. Martin Conway.
How you doing, Joe?
Good. What happened in your case with Joe Walsh?
It's actually my wife. Okay. She goes to the Lord's every year with Ferns Diocesan Pilgrimage.
Right.
And there's six of them to go most years. And all six of them now are waiting on the deposits back from Joe Walsh Tours after being promised it in December, mm-hmm. January, February, March, and the 23rd of April seems to be the day that everything was supposed to be sorted.
And now it went on the 27th of April, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was yesterday.
So there has to be something there going on that
okay.
He obviously
knew
something was going to happen.
How much is she down?
It's about €1,200 in total.
Wow. And what were they saying all along?
The first contact was in December, early January, when we had said it was 2020 they were supposed to go, and said we'll hold it over to 21. And they were, okay, happy enough, you know, that's fine. Then they decided in January that it wasn't going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. And they were sent a letter saying, if you wish to receive a refund, fill out this form and we'll post it back to you. No problem.
Okay.
They filled out the forms. She rang in January, February, March and April. In March, they stopped answering the phone to her because the number would come up. So I said, just for a bit of crack, she rang, they wouldn't answer. I rang, it gave two rings on my number. That came up, no problem. They rang, they answered, and said, yeah, which in the hands of our accountant, it will be with you in the next week.
Okay.
That was in March.
And that hasn't happened.
Now, I know businesses are being put to the wall by all this pandemic, but like, at least be truthful about it.
Yeah.
So now we're left €1,200 down the drain. We don't know if we're going to get it back or not.
Well, you have to go to the regulator.
It's the aviation regulator, yeah. I believe, are looking after it.
And there's a lot of paperwork, apparently.
Yeah, I'd say it'll be 6 or 7 weeks of paperwork first.
Okay. All right, Martin, thanks indeed. Let me go to Liz and Joe Walsh Tours. Liz, your experience.
Well, I feel bad now talking about a good time with Joe Walsh when everybody has problems.
No, that's fair.
But no, I just wanted, when I heard that it had gone into liquidation, I just wanted to say that we had very happy memories of Joe Walsh Tours way back in the late 80s when the children were going to France. And it was very difficult to get them from Kerry to France in those days. And I rang Joe Walsh's because the airport my kids were going to was Lourdes Airport, you know, it was Tarb. And the area they were going to was there. And Joe Walsh very kindly allowed us to book a flight, you know, just a single, when there wouldn't be a booking. And even one time that one of my daughters couldn't be picked up the day they were going, and they were allowed to stay over. One lady who was in a single room allowed her to stay over. So we just had very happy memories, and I just wanted to commend them for that.
Okay, and they had that individual touch. That's your point, that they would.
And it was so difficult to get. I mean, everything was so expensive then. There was no Ryanair or any, you know, or Virgin or any of those flights, you know.
Okay, Liz, well said, and thanks again. How do you manage during the pandemic, Liz?
Well, just like everybody else, I don't see the children. Some of them are living abroad. When you send them off to France or Germany, you lose them, you know.
Yeah.
But
it was so different like 20 months ago, because the whole world then was that travel had become so easy with Ryanair and hopping, and just how quickly everything flipped. Now that stands for nothing compared to the people who've suffered and died, but it's
I know,
it's awful. Okay, and are you on the list for the jab, Liz?
Yes, we are. Okay. And we've had some of it already.
Oh, have you?
So everything's okay. Yeah. And the main thing is that we're all well, and all the children are well. Okay. So that's the main thing.
It's good perspective. Thanks, Liz. Say travel. James Tracy again.
Yeah.
Somebody's told me you were a polymath.
A what?
That you've loads of different qualifications.
I have. I went to college in Liverpool. I have a master's in law in UCD, and I have a degree in law and accounting from Limerick, University of Limerick, and I have a diploma in professional law from UCD, and I have a diploma in employment law from UCD. I'm a qualified auctioneer as well.
Wow. You hold a Master of Laws from John Moores University.
And a Master in UCD.
And why did you do law in two universities?
Because one in England is English law and one in Irish law.
And is there no work for you in that area?
I'm doing the bar exams in August.
Well, you're doing the bar exams in August.
The course paid for the...
Good man. The Irish bar, King's Inns.
King's Inns, yeah.
Now, they're tough exams.
There's five subjects.
And how are you doing? Are you doing tort and...
I'm doing tort, criminal, contract, evidence and constitutional.
Sounds like it'd be no bother to you.
The book's got a print off the exam paper there last week. That's not too bad.
And do you study a lot?
Not at the moment. I haven't started yet. The course hasn't started properly yet for the interest exam. The course hasn't started properly yet.
And is the exam this year in King's Inns, that's your final bar exams?
No, that's entrance.
The entrance exam.
To go to college in Dublin for a year.
And would you do that? Would you come? Would you live in Dublin?
Come the train.
And do you have your family down below?
One and father only.
One and father, okay. And you're still with them?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you tell me what age group they are, James? Do you want
to? One is 81 and father 87.
Yeah, well, you didn't tell me they were half your age plus 7. Well, you're very good at giving someone else's age, except your own. Stay with us, James, after this break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy! Talk to to Joe on 1850 715 815.
RTE's transmitter at Three Rock will be undergoing essential maintenance over the next few days. As a result, our listeners on FM in the Greater Dublin area may lose signal from time to time. If this happens, please retune your radio to the Capure transmitter at 89.1 kHz. You can still listen as normal on rte.ie, on Serviu or on the RTE Radio Player app.
Apparently it's the rotary gibbets in that machine up in Three Rock that had to be greased and oiled and replaced. But anyway, it's a big job, I'm told. James Tracy, given your legal qualifications, could you give legal advice?
I could give legal advice to pay me.
I know we pay, of course, yeah.
But no, the actual travel agency law is the arbitration law.
Okay.
Arbitration.
But take off your Joe Walsh Tours hat and put on your legal hat. I've given £1,200 to Joe Walsh Tours. I've tried to get it back for the last year. What are my legal options, Mr. Tracy?
You can go to arbitration for the dispute.
Okay. Can I go to the small claims court?
No, in your clause and in the agreement you make with Joe Walsh Tours,
yeah,
there's an arbitration clause in there, so it has to be arbitration.
And who is the arbitrator?
You decide that between yourselves. You appoint an arbitrator. So if, for example, I'm litigating an arbitration case and we can decide the person who's going to arbitrate the case, the qualifications he has, and where the arbitration is going to take place.
Okay. And James, given your guide, could you give... What about giving tours locally in Clare, for example?
No, my tour, my tours go off from Dublin Airport.
Okay.
Because I can get people from Belfast, I can get people from Waterford,
no,
Cork,
okay,
Limerick,
yeah,
Galway, Sligo.
Yeah.
I have a very big following in Northern Ireland, so I have.
You have a big following in Northern Ireland?
I have, in Belfast area, down in Connor Diocese.
And they go on the pilgrimages with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. John Costello, listen carefully to this one. John Costello, your point, please. You're going to Lourdes.
Yes, John, we're going to drive over, John.
You're going to drive, okay. And what's the protocol there?
Well, it was just before Christmas, for 8 days. My arches and 3 centimetre heart, myself and brother. So we built Irish ferries and going out on the 16th of August and coming home the 19th of September. So I done it 5 years ago, and myself, my sister are going as well. She's a wheelchair. But okay. She rents a house there for a month, and Irish Ferries actually go from Dublin Port to Cherbourg.
Yeah.
And they go to California and cook chicken there, there's only a fiver, and into the mountains, and I bring the cooker with me, and I go and stay for a month.
You bring the cooker with you? What do you see?
Well, I have a little camping cooker and a few bottles of gas.
Great, okay. And what's the story on the pandemic in France? Is France open?
Well, the science is low. Last week they gave out 50,000 vaccines in one day.
50,000 vaccines in one day, okay. And you're not going till August?
I'm not going till August. I have a vaccine, though. I have one done, so I'm getting the other one done there in two weeks' time.
And your point is you can live cheaply and keep occupied in the good weather and the...
The weather was great. It's 42 degrees, and we went to the mountains every day. And once I had the coopers and the bottles of water lid, so away you go.
Okay. And have you done that often?
This would be the second time. I've done it 5 years ago. My sister goes every year.
Your sister goes,
okay. Great fun. The weather was great.
And what part of France do you head to when you get there?
It's 20 miles from there, where she stays.
Okay. Well, that's at least you have something to look forward to, John.
I'm looking forward. I can't wait, Joe.
Okay. Safe travelling. Keep in touch. Will you let us know how you get on? Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Noel
Bye.
Mohan. Noel.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Car insurance. What happened?
Sorry about the earlier on with the phone.
Oh.
Basically, my insurance is up on the 4th of May next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a letter from AXA. They had asked me a lot of questions. You know, the usual, you ring up to renew. And they went down the list, and I said I was retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a letter from them then saying that due to the fact that I was, there was a change in my policy.
Right.
I was being charged an extra premium of $29.40. So I queried it, and sure enough, I got a letter saying, and I think you have a copy of it there, your type of drivers, known, 15-12-52, full-time occupation, bricklayer, employment status, retired. So you now have an extra premium of €29. Right. I rang them up yesterday, spoke to a very nice chap, and he couldn't explain it to me.
But did you argue, Noel, when I was working, I used my car more often than when I'm going to retire?
Yeah, I said that to him. I said, I go, well, when I was working, I was out every morning at 7 o'clock, one of Leo's crowd, and I was, you know, coming home, driving all over the city, and they said, you know, I don't know, maybe you think it because you're... his words were, maybe they think because now that you're retired, you're going to be driving out the cabin and taking...
Yeah, but, well, first of all, if you're retired, you invariably have the free travel.
Yeah, I know that. I have so free travel,
that's what people love, getting the train to Belfast or the bus to Galway or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic journey on Rosslare. But, and the other thing is, well, you say to him, like, now that I'm retired, I'm not in a hurry anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere. And I said, the car's
I'm not
grown.
In a hurry. I'm not rushing to work. I'm not rushing to collect the kids. I'm not rushing to...
Yeah. I said, the car's sitting outside the door. There's practically grass grown out of it. But it's not been used. And you're charging me an extra €29. But the chap couldn't explain why. He couldn't give me a reason. He said, no, that's what they're doing. That's what AXA do. And this is now AXA. This is not through an agent or this is directly with AXA Insurance Company.
Okay.
And because I'm retired,
but companies, like, there is a whole tradition, it's not just here, but like that senior, you know, OAP, I'm not saying you're an OAP, but seniors, there's seniors rates. And they're normally lower. Like to go into a museum, if you pay into a museum or
it's cheaper.
Cheaper. And you're saying the insurance company said if you're retired, it's dearer.
It's dearer at €29, and they backdated me for last year. Now I was driving all year, and they didn't know I was retired. If I'd have had an accident, was I insured?
Good point.
Was I insured?
So, well, hang on. That's a warning to people. If you are retired, you make sure you tell your insurance company.
Yeah,
because they could they might turn around and say, you didn't tell us, and you're obliged to tell us. I didn't know you were obliged to tell you, but from what you're saying, given that they charge you more if you're retired, you are obliged to tell them.
You are obliged, yeah.
Okay.
Based on this letter.
Okay, what were you working at, Noel?
A bricklayer.
Good man. God, that's hard.
Hard work, I know. That's
how long were you doing that for?
40-odd years.
No.
Oh, yeah.
And what? Did you begin as a hod carrier or something?
No, a bricklayer. Okay. Served me time under a master bricklayer, I'd call him, a master tradesman.
Wow. Who was that?
A fellow named John Brady.
And what buildings did you work on?
Worked everywhere, every name, and I worked all over the city.
Well, did you work on any public buildings? That's what I mean.
Public buildings, can't think now at the moment.
Did you work in any office blocks or?
Oh, you lay off for the. I worked in all departments. I worked in the Ballymun, the shopping centre in Blanchardstown. Took that out of the ground. Parnell Street Shopping Centre. Big jobs, you know, small jobs.
What you say? The Blanchardstown shops, that you took it out of the ground.
Yeah, we set it out, yeah.
Good man.
Myself
and it is such a skill. It's still there, I presume. You still have to lay bricks.
Blanchardstown Shopping Centre.
I mean, the trade is still there.
Oh, the trade is still there, yeah. It's a great trade.
Because
it's a tough trade.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Tough trade. You know, it was a lot tougher in their day than there is now, I think.
And has technology made a difference? It hasn't really, has it, in terms of...
No, it hasn't, no. You still have to walk in the... You know, it's still wet and...
Yeah.
you know, wet blocks and wet bricks and everything, you know.
And what's the when John Brady was telling you about training you to be a master bricklayer, what did he keep, what did he drum into you all the time? What's the bottom line to be a good bricklayer? Plumb line.
No, take your time and do it right.
Okay, detail.
That was his argument. He always said, "I'll take your time and do it right." Okay.
That's a beautiful skill.
Ah, yeah. Take your time and do it right.
Okay. Well done. Thanks.
I'm now paying €29 extra.
I know. But thanks. Thanks for your 40 years of bricklaying, by the way. Fair play to you. it's a great contribution to society. Thanks, Noel, and you and your family. Jane, a quick one on car assurance.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Yeah, good. What happened?
So my car insurance is up for renewal in early June, and I got my quotation to find out that it had increased from last year. So based on the current situation that we were expecting our premiums to come down, I gave them a call.
Yeah.
And they went through the questions and got to my occupation. I'm currently unemployed.
Okay.
And so I was told that it would be an extra €103 on top of my premium because I'm unemployed. I have to say I was quite taken aback with that and asked for the reason.
Yeah.
So I'm a higher risk because I'll be travelling more. My car was parked up when I was working. I'm not sure if anybody realises that this is going on. So I was quite surprised. I've asked for a call back, which I didn't get yet, to explain that. I think it's quite ridiculous.
Mm.
So I'm penalised for the fact that I'm not working.
You're penalised when you've less money.
Yes, exactly. The logic doesn't... I mean, we're in a pandemic. We can't travel in the county, maybe 20 kilometres outside our county. So, and you've less money, you'll be travelling less. So it just, the logic of it doesn't add up for me. So I'm classed as a higher risk. I'll be travelling more.
Okay.
And thank you, another €103.
Oh, God.
And I've been with that company for quite some time. So I'm really not pleased. Yes. And I'm not sure if people out there realise that when they go to renew
so,
their policies. That
so
will
the
be
question
hit with an
then
extra
is,
premium.
Are you obliged to tell your insurance company if you lose your job?
That's the question.
If they open,
That changes the whole...
Well, they have you every which way.
Yeah, so if I don't tell them and anything happened, you know, I doubt it that I'd be covered. Or at least I don't think I'd be covered in the way I thought I was.
Okay, Jane. And Jane, do you want to tell me how long were you working in the place before you were made unemployed?
Oh, it was just a change in the company and the pandemic and all of that.
Oh,
so, you know, it's just, yeah.
Okay.
10 years.
Thanks for bringing that anomaly to our attention. Joe at RT.ie. Thanks, Jane.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. And there's still a slew of questions to be answered about the Chartered Accountant exam. Gerard Crowe. This argument that they put forward in their statement yesterday from the Chartered Accountants Ireland over the fiasco on Friday, they said this was an unprecedented situation. It's not, according to so many of our callers.
No, it wouldn't be an unprecedented situation at all, because we sat an exam last year, a tax examination for the Institute, and that exam was a disaster. We weren't able to complete the exam. Over 200 of us, I think, out of about 1,200 students sitting the exam. We were essentially, as the viewer said yesterday, or the callers, we were kicked out of the exam and had to resit it then a few weeks later, sit a different paper. That paper went well. I didn't have any troubles or technical issues with that particular paper. But yes, there is precedent there to say that, they've had technical issues before with exams, and I've had them with probably four or five out of the exams that I sat last year, including the repeats.
Okay. We have a long statement again from their opening line is, we'll not be putting forward a spokesperson to the programme. The programme's called Liveline, by the way. We are engaging with the impacted FAE students directly and through their student representative body. Have they a student union?
Yeah, that was kind of news to me. Yeah, they have a student union, I believe, but they wouldn't. It's not exactly like a traditional student union that you think of in terms of in my previous colleges in UL, where you'd be getting correspondence from a student union regards events, things like that, on a weekly basis minimum.
Who elects the officers of the student union?
I have no idea. I've never, like, there's always an election with student unions, and I've never been asked any of that or just put forward nominations, any of that kind of thing, regards the student union. Don't know who they are, haven't had any correspondence from
them. That's who they're dealing with, Chartered Accountants
in 2 years.
Ireland. And the interesting thing as well, that they say we've 28,500 very influential members, as you know, because it's a very highly skilled...
Oh, very influential. David Drummond, Sean Fitzpatrick, very influential.
Yeah, Willie McAdear, yeah. But anyway, that's not in it. But well, apart from Dermot Hegarty yesterday, who's president of the Griffith College and both a chartered accountant and a lecturer, I haven't heard any chartered accountants speak up and say students who were treated so badly last Saturday should get a second chance or shouldn't suffer because of what happened. And as we explained, 15% of the 100% was riding on last Saturday. And that 15%, if you got 15 last Saturday, you'd need another 35 in the next exam to get through. But now you need 50 in the next exam, which is nothing to do with Saturday.
Yeah,
Jackie, what happened to you? Briefly, Jackie. Just these are samples. Jackie, what happened at the exams?
Hi, Joe. I'm writing as a mother.
Okay.
For my daughter. She sat her exam on Saturday, and it wasn't without technical difficulties.
Yeah.
But she did manage to finish it and upload it at 1:45. The exam finished at 2.
Okay.
She received an email at 1:50 to say that the exam had been cancelled. And she was she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
She was devastated, and she felt she'd done quite well, and that would take pressure off her when she did her final exams in August.
And when did she realise it was all for naught? Gone.
Just when she got that email, and she sent another email saying, well, I've uploaded my exam.
Yeah.
Why is it going to be marked?
Yeah, exactly.
And they just... He resent that message, and she's since found out that they said they can't take the exams that have been uploaded because they could have been some type of corruption due to technical difficulties.
Well, for God's sake. Okay.
But I mean, she managed to do it.
Yeah, I know. And now accounts for naught. Okay, Jackie, thanks indeed. Jared Crow and all the other calls. Glenn Connon was the BCO, Mark Dwyer and Sound, Neve Dunn was the researcher, Rebecca Meehan produced, and Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.